Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
You can wrap this one, my friend, in maroon and white. 10 seconds, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Bingo!
You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else.
It's Wednesday night. You know what that means. This is Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi. I'm Brian Haydad. Rhino is down in Studio X. He is the captain of this ship. I am merely the, I don't know. What is somebody on the ship that like just talks about what we're going to do? I don't know what that makes me. So we'll just go with it, though. We are brought to you by the good folks over at the Vicksburg Convention and Visitors Bureau. Visit Vicksburg. Visit Vicksburg.com is the website. We'll be telling you throughout the show about some of the great stuff going on in my hometown of Vicksburg, Mississippi. And, of course, we'll be talking about a lot of Mississippi State sports. If you want to join in on the conversation, the C Spire text line is open to you. 601-879-4395. We'll have some MSU sports to possibly talk about here. I'm not sure what the schedule is. The SEC softball tournament was completely thrown out of whack earlier today with a 14-inning game between Alabama and LSU. If you're not a big softball fan, that's double the normal amount of innings. They play seven, and they went 14. So they're behind schedule. State, I think, was supposed to start around now. But obviously the game has probably been delayed a little bit. So if it starts up, though, we'll take a look at what's going on with Coach Ricketts and her group. But let's stay on the diamond and talk some MSU baseball. Another series win for the Bulldogs, a 3-1 week. We said that last week on this show. We said it on Sports Talk. We said it on the podcast. Last week had to be 3-1. Didn't care how you got there, but 3-1 was the number you had to get to. They did it. They beat Ole Miss. Gosh, a week ago today, we were I was in Trustmark Park having this show, and then get two out of three from Alabama. I mean, you might have felt like they should have swept Alabama. I think Chris Lemonis would tell you he felt like his team should have swept Alabama, but they just played poorly on Sunday, and the game got away from them. And now it sets up this big series heading up to Arkansas, a team that Mississippi State historically has not done very well against under Chris Lemonis. 1-11 is Chris Lemonis against the Hogs in his time at Mississippi State, the one win coming in 2022 up there in Fayetteville. So I guess that might be a good sign. But that's what you got to have this week. You got to have one win against the Hogs. 40-9 on the season. They are 31-2 at home. And the Friday night matchup between Kyle Steven and Hagan Smith is one that, quite honestly, if you're an unbiased observer, you're going to be really excited to watch, because those are two of the best pitchers in the SEC. Hagan Smith is the no-doubt best pitcher in the SEC. Kyle Steven probably second. Smith's numbers are just stupid in the best possible way. He's 9-0 on the year. He's pitched two shutouts. In 66 innings, he's struck out 125 batters. So he's averaging just under two strikeouts per nine. So around 17 strikeouts a game is what he's averaging. He's only given up 10 earned runs. He's only given up 29 hits. Teams are hitting 132 against him. He's just a monster. He will probably be the first full-time pitcher taken off the board in the MLB draft later this summer. You know, you have Jack Caglione there, and he'll be taken before Hagan Smith. But of course, he's more probably going to go more for his bat than his arm. But Hagan Smith will be a top 10 draft choice in all likelihood. But Cal Steven has been very, very good for Mississippi State. This is not going to be a series that has a lot of runs, I don't think. I think these are two teams that can pitch it really well, and both teams offensively are not great. You think about Arkansas and some of the teams they've had in the past, the mashers that they've had, and they do not have the same kind of bats that they've had in the past. They're only hitting 271 as a team, and you think about conference play, I mean, it's lower. I mean, there's just no getting around that. Mississippi State is a team right now hitting they couldn't make the font on this any smaller if they tried. 285, am I looking at that right? I can't tell. Thanks, Dave. You got old people like me trying to read your stuff here, guys. We got to do something about that. Anyway, neither one of these teams are great hitting the baseball. Not a lot of power on either team. State only 57 home runs on the year, 64 for Arkansas. 30 of State's 57 are from two guys from Dakota Jordan and Hines and Hunter Hines, who you must admit has been playing some really good baseball lately. Seems to have found a little bit of a groove and has his bat going the right direction. But Dakota Jordan, who had three hits in the Governor's Cup game last Wednesday, but didn't have the best weekend in Starkville. And so now, you know, you're trying to get those two guys going at the same time. Now, good news for State, Logan Kohler seems to have picked it up. He's had four home runs in his last, I think, five games. He's starting to pick up a little bit at the plate. And that's the guy, when you brought him in, you thought you were getting a little bit more power than he's shown you this year. But now he's sitting on four home runs. And, you know, if he can give you something towards the bottom of that order, that would be huge for Mississippi State going forward. They just have to get one. That's the key to this week. Just get one. You saw some regional projections today. D1 Baseball has State hosting. They have them as the number 12 overall seed, hosting the Starkville Regional, which, by the way, it feels so good to be able to say Starkville Regional. Haven't been able to say that in a couple of years. He has Mississippi State, do the D1 guys, as the 12 seed. Oklahoma State is the 2 in that regional. Louisiana Tech, the 3, and then Samford, the 4. So you have Oklahoma State, historically a great program. Louisiana Tech, coached by, why can I not think of his name? Lane Burroughs, former Mississippi State assistant coach. Samford has been a regular in the Starkville regionals the past couple of times. And they're traditionally a very good program. Had a played State in Birmingham earlier this year, and that was a close game that State had to put away late. And oddly enough, State, in this projection, tied to Fayetteville, the Fayetteville Regional. Number 5 overall seed, Arkansas, with their 2 seed being Texas, 3 seed St. John's, and the 4 seed Arkansas Little Rock. So this could be a super regional preview if that kind of projection were to hold up. I've been saying this quite a bit, and I did an interview that you'll hear tomorrow on the Thunder and Lightning podcast feed with Jackson Fuller. He covers the Razorbacks for the Southwest Times Record. And I found it interesting. He said, I like Arkansas a lot in a regional because they have so much pitching depth, but in a super regional where it's just two games, if they're going to play the way they've played the last 2 weeks, and the last two weeks they lost to Kentucky, and then they played Florida this past weekend, and they just weren't. I'm sorry, I got that backwards. Last week they lost to Kentucky. 2 weeks ago they played Florida. They got the series win, but they weren't overly impressive. He says, in a super regional, if they're going to pitch like that, I don't like them. And I made the comment to him that I'm the opposite. I like State in a super regional because Gerangelo and Kyle Steven have given you so many quality starts this year. I feel like they can win their two games. But in a regional where I've got to find a fourth or a fifth starter, State has not shown that guy this year. They haven't shown that kind of depth. So that's a very interesting comparison between these two teams. Historically, obviously, Arkansas has just had the advantage. But you can make the argument, as I said, with Arkansas not playing its best baseball over these last 2 weeks, that State has played their best baseball since they lost the series to Ole Miss. That series seemed, which I thought at the time, could have ended up being a huge turnaround the wrong way for Mississippi State. I thought they could have come out of Oxford with their heads hanging and saying, well, you know, it's all downhill from here. Instead, they've picked it up. They sweep Auburn. They go to Vanderbilt and get the series win. Then they take two from Alabama this weekend, and they get the Governor's Cup game in the midweek. They're playing really well right this second. They've won, I guess it's 10 of their last 12. So two teams that are kind of going opposite directions, but Arkansas, Their downward slope isn't much. They're not plummeting or anything. Arkansas next weekend has to play Texas A&M, and that matchup may not only be for the SEC West title, it may be for the SEC championship as well. But they should be focused on this series. They know they can't take Mississippi State for granted and then just look ahead to Texas A&M, because if they lose a couple of games this weekend, all of that goes away for them. State had a real chance to be number 2 in the SEC West if they had gotten that win last week. They would be tied with A&M, and then you just sort of play out these last two series where Arkansas plays you both, and maybe whoever gets one win is the number 2 seed in the West, which means you're the number 4 seed overall in the SEC tournament, and you get the double bye. We're going to talk about the SEC tournament in just a few minutes. We're going to go through what the bracket would look like today, maybe give you an idea of who Mississippi State could be playing, how their path to an SEC tournament championship might look, and more importantly, how much does it really matter for Mississippi State when they get to Hoover. I drew a lot of controversy a couple of years ago when I said, hey, these two games don't matter. State can lose them both, and it's all good. People are like, oh, you want to win every game. Well, Chris Lemonis can tell me he wanted to win those games, but the results didn't bear him out. They got run-ruled in both games, and then a few weeks later, they were hoisting a national championship trophy. This year might be a little different. They might end up needing to win one in Hoover just to be sure about that hosting resume. I mentioned there were two projections. Baseball America came out today, had State as the 2 seed in the Durham Regional, the number 15 national seed, Duke. So Teddy Cahill not sold on Mississippi State being a host site yet. D1 Baseball, Kendall Rogers told us yesterday on Sports Talk Mississippi, State would have to work their way out of not being a host at this time. Let's talk about the SEC tournament when we come back, which we'll do in just a moment. This is Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
For all your glass.
Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
You called down the thunder, well, now you got it.
Takes a part of me.
I was going to let him start talking before I did. Thunder and Lightning here on Sports on Super Talk Mississippi. We are brought to you by the good folks over at Visit Vicksburg. They want to remind you this Saturday is Chilling in the Hills, a 8 a.m. start over at 1101 Belmont Street with a 10K run, 5K walk, and a one mile fun run. And that's a fundraiser that's going to support the Grace Christian Counseling Center. And then after the race, there'll be plenty of vendor booths set up, jewelry, custom t-shirts, custom tumblers, handmade bath and body products, and most importantly, there will be food. For more information, call 601-636-5703. I always laugh at the term fun run. There's nothing fun about running. It's work. I told somebody I ran the other day. I ran for the first time since, I don't know, 1994. And they were like, oh, you think about doing a 5K? And I was like, no. I'm not gonna run in my leisure time. This is work. Who runs for pleasure? I don't know the answer to that question. The SEC tournament is, 16 days away from starting, if I'm doing the math right here? And, of course, Mississippi State, as it stands, will be there. I think State is locked in at this point. I don't know if they can miss out on Hoover. Ole Miss, have to kind of wait and see. I thought we'd look at the brackets and sort of get an idea of how that's all going to stack up. Your top 4 seeds obviously get the double bye, and those are, they're not locked in just yet, but they're pretty close. Over in the East, Kentucky would be the overall 1 seed and the SEC champion. They're 18-6. The Arkansas Razorbacks are currently the SEC West champions. They would come in as the 2 seed, 17-7. Tennessee's also 17-7. They'd be the 3, and then Texas A&M is the 4. As it stands today, Mississippi State would be the 5 seed in the SEC tournament. They're 14-10. They're a game ahead of Georgia and South Carolina. Georgia and South Carolina, well, I don't know now. Georgia and South Carolina played each other earlier this year. I think that Georgia won that series. I'm going to double check that. But as it stands right now in the standings, Georgia is the 6 seed and South Carolina is the 7 seed. The 8 seed would be Vanderbilt. The 9 seed would be, I think, Florida. 10 seed, Alabama, and then the LSU Tigers are the 11 seed. And as it stands today, the 12 seed is Ole Miss, which means if you're paying attention, yes, the Ole Miss Rebels and the Mississippi State Bulldogs would play each other on the first day of the SEC tournament. As it stands right now, again, you know, we got a couple weeks left to play, and there's plenty left to sort out. But as it stands right now, that game would be the 8 o'clock first pitch. They would get the late game. The first game of the day, the 6 versus 11 game, would be LSU versus Georgia. Very interesting game. Tommy White versus Charlie Condon. Charlie Condon over at Hoover. You know, how many home runs is he going to hit before he even gets there? He's going to be around 40. Then at 2 o'clock, the game after that, 7 versus 10, that would be South Carolina versus Alabama. You'd have Florida versus Vanderbilt to start the evening session. It's a 4:30 start, yeah. And then, as I mentioned, 8 o'clock first pitch scheduled. You never know with the way the games are going to go, but that would be Mississippi State and Ole Miss. The winner of that game would take on Texas A&M the next day at 4:30 first pitch. So, obviously that makes me excited because I could just end up with a tiebreaker between Richard and I without having to go to anything else. I'm still looking up this Georgia-South Carolina thing. Well, that's this weekend. So, okay, so we'll know they'll break up that tie themselves. State right now, let's just play out the schedule, right? Let's say they get the one this weekend with Arkansas, and we'll say they only get 2 from Missouri. They don't sweep. That would finish them up at 17-13 in the conference. In all likelihood, they could drop to 6 at that point. Let's just say Georgia, who's hot right now, they just swept Vanderbilt last weekend, which put them into a hosting position. Last weekend, they were not listed anywhere as a host. This week, now that they're 13-11 in the conference, they're over 500, they're back in the hosting spot discussion, mainly because their RPI, it's 5th in the nation right now. They just have they're 22-1 non-conference, and that includes a win over the number 4 team in the RPI, Clemson. So Georgia could jump ahead of Mississippi State. Obviously, if they finish with the same record, State would have the tiebreaker. State could go down to the 6 if they would finish with 17, because I could see Georgia winning these last two series. They play Florida the last weekend of the series of the season. They could get to 18 wins. Well, they would have 17, though, wouldn't they? In that case, State might have a really good shot at being the 5. South Carolina, how do they finish up the season? Like as I mentioned, they have Georgia to start, and then they finish the year with, they're at number 1 Tennessee. That's going to be tough. So South Carolina likely to take a little bit of a drop. Florida is very interesting because they're sitting at 25-23 right now. The rule for the NCAA tournament is you have to be above 500 to go to the tournament. Well, Florida's last two weekends are against Kentucky. They have Kentucky this weekend, and then they have to go to Georgia. They were able to win that non-conference game they had last night, thankfully. Otherwise, they would have been in really, really big trouble. They're currently, as it stands right now, they're 25-23. If they need to win, what, 3 games? They'd be 28-26, then they could go over to Hoover, lose one game, and call it a day, and be above 500. But if they lose both series, if they go 2-4 and they're 27-27, then they have to win 3 games in Hoover to be able to go to the NCAA tournament. I think Florida's in real, real trouble as far as making the NCAA tournament. Ole Miss is kind of in that same boat. I haven't checked the score. I know that it was tied earlier just a little bit between Ole Miss and Murray State. Ole Miss still has 2 non-conference games. They have this one tonight that they're playing, and I'll check in on the score right now. 3-2 Ole Miss in the bottom of the 5th. They need to win that game. And then they have USM next week, and that's around 2 series with Texas A&M. And LSU, who's, like, as I mentioned, they're starting to heat up a little bit. Looks like LSU will at least break the curse of not making Hoover the year after they win the national title. They're still not very, very good, although they're playing better baseball right now. But Ole Miss, I mean, they need to get wins if they want to make sure that they are at least eligible. Now, here's the problem. Ole Miss has 9 wins in the conference. They need to win at least 3 of their final 6 games, which means they have to win a series against Texas A&M on the road and LSU at home. No, I'm sorry, I got that backwards. It's Texas A&M at home and LSU on the road. That's going to be tough for the Rebels. I can't see an 11-win SEC team. I know Ole Miss's RPI is very good right now. It's in the top. It's 25th. I understand that, but an 11-19 SEC team is not going to make it unless they win the SEC tournament. I just can't see that happening. I could be wrong, but I just don't see that happening. Mississippi State's in a great spot, though. They're currently 19th in the RPI. 2 weeks ago when they played Vanderbilt, their RPI jumped, I want to say, 4 or 5 spots after the win on Saturday. So State, And losing to Arkansas is not going to hurt State's RPI. If State just gets one win, they could easily get like a +2 or +3 and be sitting at 17 or 16 going into the final week of the season. Now, their RPI is going to take a little bit of a hit the last week of the season, and we've talked about that a few times. They play North Alabama. That they are currently 279 in the RPI. Just playing that game is going to ding you a little bit. And then you have Missouri, who, of course, of all the SEC schools, is the worst in the conference as far as RPI goes. They're currently sitting at, I'm almost there, they're in the 90s, 95. So you need to win those, and all those games obviously are at Duty Noble Field. So you need to win those games, but even winning them is going to ding you just a little bit. But that being said, if you can go to Hoover and maybe get a couple over there, you go from, I think at 17, they're safe no matter what. At 18, for sure, they're safe. And then, of course, that would involve a win this weekend and then sweeping Missouri. If that were to happen, if State's 18-12 in the conference, I would feel almost positive they would be a host. I would feel almost positive. 99.999%. There would always be that little worry, but it's not that big. And then you start talking about the SEC tournament. I never know how much weight the committee puts on the tournament, but if State goes over there and wins two, and they beat Ole Miss, let's say that's where they would be. Ole Miss is the 12, right? So State beats them. That's a top, I mean, Ole Miss isn't going to drop much. That's a top 30 win on a neutral site. That's a great win. If you beat Texas A&M, now it's a top 5 win at a neutral site. That's 20 conference wins, plus count the Governor's Cup. That's 21. Now we're going to start talking about, could State be like the 8 national seed? Could they be one of the top 8 and maybe host a super regional? That's obviously some very best-case scenario stuff for Mississippi State. The most realistic scenario is to get to 17-18 wins, host, and just see what happens. But I will say this, and you know, you guys know me. I try to be unbiased in my coverage. I try to give you the straight stuff when I can. But, man, it feels good to talk about postseason baseball coming back to Duty Noble Field. That stadium was built for postseason baseball. It deserves it. This team is playing at a high level, and they're going to get it. Very, very soon. All right, we'll switch gears. We're going to talk some football when we come back. Recruiting, the portal, it's all happening here in Starkville. We'll talk about that when we come back. This is Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Greatness.
Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
I am absolutely and completely thunderstruck.
We are back here on Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi. If you don't already subscribe to the Thunder and Lightning podcast, I must ask that you do. I would like you to do that. That would make me happy if you would just be a subscriber to the Thunder and Lightning podcast. It's available wherever you get your podcasts from. Of course, it's available at supertalk.fm, along with a lot of other great sports news and a lot of other great sports podcasts. If you're an Ole Miss fan, and I know y'all are listening. I know you're out there. But we have the Rebel Report with Michael Borky. It's, I think, 3 times a week. We have the Eagle Hour for your USM fans that are listening. And, of course, the Sports Talk Mississippi podcast is there for you as well. Along with another, everything at supertalk.fm. News, opinion, weather, links to all of our shows, the videos, everything. It's right there, one-stop shopping. We are brought to you by the good folks over at Visit Vicksburg, my hometown. This weekend, I wish I was in my hometown for this one. The Key City Spring Fest at Key City Brewing Company, 1311 Washington Street. A fabulous spring celebration of great lager and classic German dishes. Delicious beer releases, exceptional food, traditional polka music, and fun times for all. Come early, stay late, enjoy a little slice of Germany right there in downtown Vicksburg. For more information, contact 601-501-7712. Beer? Food? Sure! I'll be there. I need to find a reason to go. Speaking of reasons to go, someone has come to Mississippi State. Hit the music, Rhino.
Creighton, 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 Creighton. Creighton, 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 Creighton.
And they didn't come to Starkville just any old way. They came via the transfer portal. All right. Do not adjust the radio when I tell you that Mississippi State picked up a defensive player in the transfer portal. They did it! They did it, guys! Anthony Johnson, defensive tackle, University of Illinois. He'll be making the trek down to Starkville to play defense for Mississippi State. One of those guys that kind of took the spring tryout route. Transferred to Illinois from Youngstown State, and now is transferring to Mississippi State. So, obviously not a Chicago hot dog kind of guy, more of a pulled pork kind of guy. I respect it. I'm interested to see what he can do in this defense. His numbers were, I guess you could say he had reasonable production at Youngstown State. Now, obviously that's an FCS school, but that's not to say anything. A lot of guys have made the jump from FCS to FBS and have been very successful. So, good pickup for Mississippi State. I don't know if I'll go that far. But they needed guys on that side of the ball, man. They just need some faces to create some competition on this depth chart. They just don't have a lot of proven guys. And not to say that this guy is overly proven, Anthony Johnson, but he does have more production than a lot of the guys that are currently on the roster. So, he'll come in and compete for probably at that defensive tackle position where if you made me guess today, Trevion Williams would be lining up to start the season. So Johnson will give him some work there. On the offensive side of the ball, there's obviously been a lot more success this year, and that continued this weekend. Trent Hudson is the name, wide receiver out of New Mexico State. Interesting stat line, 36 catches last year. 10 touchdowns, so sort of a Caleb Ducking kind of production line. You know, when he does catch the ball, it's usually for 6 points. One of the things that gives me hope for next year in the portal, because I think at this point I've just made the decision that people aren't willing to come play for Coleman Hutzler at this time because they don't know anything about him. He's never been a coordinator. They don't know anything about him. The rest of the staff, outside of David Turner, there's just not a lot of meat on the bone in terms of looking at guys and saying, I trust that guy with my career. Maybe next year, he puts a defense out this year, maybe they overachieve a little bit, and you can go into next year and get some transfer guys. The reason I'm not concerned about NIL is the success they've had getting offensive guys. They've landed 4 offensive linemen who have a chance to start. They've landed a tight end who will start. Their top 3 tight ends are all from the portal. They've got now 3 wide receivers who will either start or be in the rotation out of the transfer portal. They got a running back that they wanted out of the transfer portal, and of course they got a quarterback out of the transfer portal, all on the offensive side of the ball. So that leads me to believe, you know, I'm just making logical assumptions here, that NIL-wise, State was able to put together a very good, lucrative offers for guys, the kind of offers that were able to bring in the players that they wanted. With State defensively, the issue has been a lot that they can't even get these guys on campus. I got the feeling that a few times that State would have been willing to throw to overpay. You know, would have made Brian Kelly blush with the kind of numbers they were willing to give a guy if he was willing to commit to Mississippi State. But they couldn't even get him on campus. And I think that is just due to the fact that of the unfamiliarity with Coleman Hutzler. So he needs to just show up this year and have a defense that looks respectable. You know, just it doesn't have to be great. It barely has to be good. If it's not good, as long as it's not putrid. I don't know that I've used that word on this show yet. That's one of my favorite words. If you're a longtime podcast listener, you know that. But they just have to, you know, they need a couple of stops a game. Assuming, and then we're making a big assumption now, that Jeff Lebby delivers offense the way Jeff Lebby has delivered offense at his previous stops. I keep making this reference. I keep making this comparison. I'm going to continue to make it until it's no longer relevant. But Lebby, the first year he was at Ole Miss with Kiffin, all defensively, they were the worst team in the country. And that's not hyperbole. That's the stats. They played a all-SEC schedule. And they won 4 games out of 9. And then went to a bowl game against a Power 5 team and won that and won 5 games. Now, I don't know that State has a Matt Corral. I don't know that Chapin can be what Corral is. I don't know that they've got an Elijah Moore. I like their receivers a lot. I think they've got some talented guys there. But do they have a guy who's going to catch 90 passes? I don't know the answer to that. I don't think that that's a yes. But that team, if Ole Miss had played its regular schedule in 2020, if they had played their 4 non-conference games, their 4 regular conference games, which that year would not have included Florida, who won the West that year. They would not have had to play them under regular circumstances. They were an 8-4 team at worst, probably. Maybe even 9-3. And that's with no transfer portal. That's just Kiffin and Lebby showed up. This was the hand we've been dealt. Let's go coach football. And they were a perfectly good football team. Now, they were awful defensively, but they scored enough points to win basically every game. I mean, look at their numbers. I off the top of my head, I don't know that they were held under 30 points the whole season. Let me double-check that. I like on this website, when you click on Ole Miss, it says Mississippi. It doesn't say Ole Miss. The only time they were held under 30 points, it was twice. It was once against Arkansas. And if you recall that game, I'm sorry, it's 3 times. If you recall that game, Corral threw 6 picks in that game. So they probably should have scored like 45 points, but they just gave the ball away. They scored only 28 on Auburn. You'll remember that game. That was the one where there was a penalty call that went against them late or a turnover or something. And then in the bowl game, they only scored 26. They had had a bunch of opt-outs at that point. Elijah Moore wasn't playing anymore. So you move on. But they scored 35 on Florida, who won the West. They scored 42 on Kentucky. They scored 48 on Alabama, who won the national championship. You remember that game, 63-48. 54 on Vandy, 59 on South Carolina, 31 on Mississippi State, 48 in a loss to LSU. If you remember that game, Corral threw 5 picks. I don't know that State's offense can be 30. I mean, that's 37 points per game. I don't know that State's offense can be that good, but can it be 33 points per game, 32 points per game? Because if it is, you're going to go 6-6. You're going to at least go 6-6 and go to a bowl game, and maybe more. If State averages 35, they'll be fine. If they average 21, oh boy, look out. They averaged 21 last year. I would be willing to bet just about literally anything that they're going to be far, far superior to what they were last year offensively. Far, far superior. 21 is what they, I definitely, Auburn game, the Auburn punt returner, clearly, that's right. That's right. I remember that very clearly. That was 2 years in a row. Correct me if I'm wrong. Didn't Ole Miss get hosed on a call the year before? There was a kickoff return where they didn't touch it and they Ole Miss recovered it, something like that. I don't remember. I don't remember. We'll see. So yeah, I'm going to keep making that comparison to 2020 Ole Miss with this Mississippi State team. And if State's defense can surprise, who knows? Who knows how good this team can be? So we'll see. We'll see what happens. All right, we'll wrap it up when we come back. We got more Cruton to talk about when we come back. We got more Portal to talk about. Rhino, reload the songs. We're going to need them. We'll talk about that, but it's basketball. We'll do that when we come back. This is Thunder and Lightning Live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Now. Thunder and lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
Listen up! There is a storm coming!
Oh,
here on Thunder and Lightning, live here on Super Talk Mississippi. I'm Brian Haydad. Rhino has steered the ship to a near perfect voyage. We've just got to wrap things up. If I can get through the next 6 minutes, we're going to be okay. We are brought to you by our friends over at the Visit Vicksburg, the Vicksburg Convention and Visitors Bureau. Next weekend, May 18th and 19th, the State Games of Mississippi Pickleball Tournament. I am telling you right now, every time they send me one of these things, there's a pickleball thing happening. Vicksburg, Mississippi must be the capital of pickleball. I'd love to see it. Next weekend's event, Halls Ferry Park in Vicksburg. Check in it from 7:15 to 8, and that's when all matches for all divisions will start. A $65 entry fee per player for one event, and then it's $15 for each additional event. Plus, you get a T-shirt, and the top three places in each division will get a medal. So there you go. May 18th and 19th, the State Games of Mississippi Pickleball Tournament. From pickleball to basketball, we're cruiting again. Go, Rhino!
Cruiting, 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 cruiting. Cruiting, 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 cruiting.
And it's also from the transfer portal. Chris Jans, who's on the road this week, the Road Dogs tour. I think they were in Greenville earlier this week. Chris Jans and Jeff Levy were there. But he got another portal player, R.J. Melendez, SEC proven, almost 10 points a game last year for the Georgia Bulldogs. He is the three as we go into the season. So State right now still looking for a five, still looking for that big man in the middle, but they've got four-fifths of the starting lineup right now. One thing I like about what State has done thus far in the transfer portal, they brought in four guys, Kanye Cleary, as I mentioned, R.J. Melendez, Claudel Harris, and Michael Nwoko. All of these guys are from power programs, or power conference programs, I should say. You're not taking a risk on a guy who averaged 18, 19 a game at a great Midwest or Ohio Valley conference, and you're not sure how he's going to translate to the next level. R.J. Melendez averaged 10 points a game in the SEC last year. And what he's going to provide is kind of what D.J. Jeffries provided for you. Great defender, but a little bit more offense than maybe you got out of Jeffries a season ago. And if that's what you're going to get with what you know with Hubbard, Cleary, and Harris are going to give you in the backcourt, Cam Matthews doing a lot of the dirty work and getting his buckets that way. You just got to find a five who can get you into double figures, close to double figures on the rebounds, double figures in the points, and you're off and running. You're a tournament team once again. So we'll see how that goes. State's still very much on the lookout. One thing I think I've noticed is the guys are going after not as true a center as Tolu Smith would have been. And Tolu Smith was 6'10". Depending on the haircut some days, I guess. And these guys that they're going after now are a little 6'8", 6'9", kind of guys. But I think they want a little bit more offensive efficiency in terms of being able to spread the floor a little bit, maybe be able to work that mid-range, maybe even take a three-point shot. I got to remember, Tolu Smith never took a three-point shot in his time at Mississippi State. That's not what today's basketball game is like. And nowadays, you want all five guys out there to be able to shoot the long ball a little bit. So we'll see if State's able to bring those guys in. But so far, I wouldn't say that. I think Cleary is probably the biggest splash guy they've gotten. I mean, that's a guy who averaged almost 18 points a game for Penn State a season ago. But at the same time, I feel like they've done a really good job of bringing guys in who are proven at this level of college basketball. I mean, I think State right now will be back in the mix to be a tournament team next year. Can they step forward from that? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that one. Can they, instead of, this is 2 years in a row where they've been in, but they've been on the bubble the whole time, can they maybe next year take a step forward, maybe be a little bit more competitive in the SEC, be a little bit more consistent? That's going to be the goal for Chris Jans. We'll see if he can get there, but it's a good start. I thought the big guy on the left that decided to come back would be in the starting lineup. Keyshawn Murphy, I would be surprised if Keyshawn's a starter because he plays the four. That's where Cam Matthews starts. Cam is definitely going to start at the four over Keyshawn. And I don't think Keyshawn can play the five, and I know he can't play the three, So he's going to be more of a depth piece. He and Sean Jones, we'll see if any of the other freshmen can contribute. I don't know that Eric Payman from Raymond can right off the top, but we'll see how it goes. We'll see how it goes. Got a long way to go to basketball, though. All right. Tomorrow, Sports Talk Mississippi. I was told Richard Cross won't be there, so it should be a fun show. Me and Michael Borky, we'll have a good time. We'll talk some football, some basketball, some baseball, all sorts of things. It'll be great. Looking forward to you guys joining in. Don't forget Thunder and Lightning podcast, my interview with Jackson Fuller covering the Arkansas Razorbacks, so a good preview of this weekend's baseball series. Until next week, for Rhino, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.